Cindy is wonderful. I want that to be my testimony. In all I do, I honor you. Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Nice to be back together for this midweek service. We don't want to take much time, but just to mention that I just talked with Brother Alvaro again a couple of minutes ago, and he said he wanted to send a picture, but he said he looks like somebody that lives in the street because of all they've been through. And I told him, well, you've got a home. There's a home waiting for you. We're all pilgrims and strangers, but there's a home that's waiting for him. I told him, kind of in line with what Brother Andy said, I asked him earlier in the week if he was going to need a vacation from his vacation when he got home, but we're just thankful that it's good to be in the hands of the Lord. And there's no better place to be. It's amazing the time that we're living in. I still remember very vividly the morning that we heard about the attacks on the Twin Towers, and it was our 911 and pedestrian, citizens, just everyday people being massacred in that sense. And there, I don't think anybody said it was anything less than a massacre. I don't think there was anybody that didn't call it terrorism. And our country got together and united like we hadn't in my generation to go and fight against that common enemy. Now, Israel has just experienced the worst massacre since the Holocaust. And anybody that doesn't call it a massacre, you're anointed of a devil. It's worse than what happened to us. Babies having their heads cut off, bodies desecrated. It's Satanism. It is absolutely so. How anybody couldn't unite, how anybody couldn't call that terrorism is beyond me, but it shows the hour and the age that we're living in. So the BBC won't call it terrorism. They said, we're not going to say it is or it isn't. You can have your own opinion about it. Well, that's a solid stand, right? There are big factions of the Canadian government or the Canadian media and so forth that also won't call it terrorism. And there's large factions of our own government that won't call it terrorism. But it's nothing short of that. Nothing short of it. On the flip side, Brother Alvaro shared with me a video that they took on their way to the airport going through the countryside, and they were going to pass by a military base. And for just as far as you can see, there are cars parked. It looks like a country road. It's the way that it appears. There are cars that are parked on either side of the road, just bumper to bumper. And some are parked sideways so that you can get more in. And then you run into sections where there's just, looks like they turned the field into a parking lot. And then you finally get up to the gates of the military installation, and you're passing through, and a good number of those vehicles are Israelis that are, not just Israelis, people that are coming from all over the world to help them. Amen. In their fight. That's how the church ought to be. When the devil comes after one of us, don't call it anything less than terrorism. That's what it is. And when he comes after one of us, he comes after all of us. It's a time to unite. Blessed be his wonderful name. I'd like to read from Psalm chapter 23, very familiar scripture, verses 1 through 6, and then we'll get another witness from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Psalms 23, verse 1. Maybe we could do this together. I'll read the first verse, you read the next one, and I think you can figure out where we go from there, right? A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You believe that? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's our protection. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's just amen and amen and amen. It's just positive, positive, positive. Not maybe, I'm hoping. I can't understand it. Surely. 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 Goodness and mercy. I'm not pursuing it. It'll follow after me. In portions of my life. All the days of my life. My whole life is in his hands. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a positive confession. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So he's comforting us so that we can comfort those that are in trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So if we aren't being comforted by him, we can't comfort anyone else, right? But he is our comfort. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Skipping down to the fourth chapter of the same book. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. How could that be? Troubles everywhere, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before your people this evening, Lord, and as we bow ourselves humbly before you, we just ask that you would take the bread of life and break it for us once again. Feed it to us, Lord. Quicken it. Make it live. Encourage those that need encouraging. Comfort those that need comforting, Lord. For you truly are our comfort. You're our strength. You're our joy. You're our peace. You're our all in all. Our confidence is completely and totally in you. The world, everything may fall. Everything may fail us. But you will never fail us. Our days are in your hands. All of our days are in your hands. Father, I pray that your anointing would be upon your word as it goes forth. And I'm confident, Lord, as your word declares, it will not return unto you without accomplishing the thing that you sent it to do. Bless each and every one now, Lord, those that are listening in, those that will be listening in. And we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to read from 1 Kings chapter 19, where we're going to take our thought for this evening. Our title tonight is, The Lord is Thy Comfort. The Lord is Thy Comfort. And my goal by the end of the service is for you to say, The Lord is my comfort. Not the Lord is Brother Dutch's comfort. I believe he is. But for you to say, The Lord is my comfort. Not the Lord is Brother Baker's comfort, and I believe he is, but the Lord is my comfort. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, And more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So she's threatening him. She's saying, okay, so all these prophets were killed. May the Lord do that to me if I don't do the same thing to you as was done to these prophets. And I'm gonna date set if this doesn't happen by tomorrow. Not next week or not sometime in your life, but if this doesn't happen by tomorrow, may the Lord do this to me. What a bold statement. And when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, I came down here to whip you. And said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake bacon on the coals. Domino's delivers. And a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and he did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. That must have been quite a meal. So in our text this evening, Elijah the prophet, he'd just come down from Mount Carmel, and he was headed to the city which is called Jezreel. And the children of Israel, we know that they were in a lukewarm and backslidden condition under the reign of King Ahab and his queen Jezebel. Many had forsaken the God of Israel, and they were instead worshiping the false god Baal, the god of the Phoenicians, the god of the Canaanites. They had forsaken the commandments of the true God of Israel. And Jezebel, the very name means, it's a question, Baal exalts or Baal is husband to? With her marriage to Ahab, she brought with her into Israel the worship of trees, of groves of trees. We look at that, we say how ridiculous, but look at what people worship today. And at that time, there were 450 prophets that were in the land that spoke for the Balaam worshipers. And that's not Balaam, the B-A-L-L-A-M or B-A-A-L-A-M, but it's B-A-A-L-I-M, which means it's Baal worshipers, the god Baal. There were 450 prophets of the land that spoke for Baal, if you will. And there were 400 prophets that spoke for the grove worshipers, for the tree god. So Elijah, he meets with Ahab, and Ahab asks him, are you the one that's causing all this trouble for Israel? And Elijah replies, you got it wrong, buddy. I'm not the problem here. It's you and it's your father's house that has been the cause of all this trouble for Israel. For you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed after Balaam. So recall that Elijah was sent to Israel. One of the purposes of him being sent to Israel was to turn the hearts of the people back to the original faith of their fathers. To bring them, turn them back to the true God of Israel. He had an important job to do. One that nobody else could do. There was only one person that could do this, and that was Elijah. So he had prayed, he'd sought the Lord, he'd prepared himself for meetings with the people. And Elijah, he called for a big camp meeting. He said, we're going to have a camp meeting, there's going to be a meeting, and let me tell you where it's going to be at. He called for the prophets of Baal, and he called for the prophets of the groves, and then he called for the people also to come join him at Mount Carmel. Ahab sent for the prophets, and they gathered together to hear what it was that Elijah had to say, knowing that he was Jehovah's prophet, and knowing that he would declare to them the word of the Lord God of Israel. What were they thinking as they were coming? The people, they were all in a state of confusion because everybody thought that they were right in their own sight. And everybody thought that they were actually following the true God of Israel. Kind of sounds like the churches today, doesn't it? And so Elijah said to them, how long halt ye between two opinions? Now, the two opinions in this case is the gods of this land versus the God of Israel. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord God be God, well, then follow him. Seems reasonable to me. But if Baal be God, well, then follow him. Let's just lay it out on the line. Let's let the God that is God prove that he's God. And if he proves that he is God, well, then serve him. But don't continue on going back and forth. In other words, let's just settle this once and for all. Why go on with doubts and wonders? Why go on mixing this with that? If you say that the God of your forefathers is God, then worship him. There's no need for all of this confusion. Friends, we could say that tonight too. We've been given the word of the Lord. We've been given the same word that was given to the apostles so that our hearts could be turned back to that very same word we were sent a messenger. There shouldn't be any confusion. There shouldn't be any doubts. There shouldn't be any question. Let the God that was with Paul be that God tonight. Let the God that's with the Methodists, let the God that's with the Pentecostals, let the God that's with the two souls, let him be God if he's God. But if the God of this word is with us tonight, let him be God. In other words, and I love this, let's just find out who the true God is. Let's quit debating. Let's look for the manifestation. Let's look for the proof. Let's quit splitting hairs with words. Let's see some actions. I don't know what's going on over there right now, but I think we're going to see some actions. Let those who bless Israel be blessed. Those that curse Israel. So Elijah said, I alone remain as a prophet to Israel. I'm the only one, but I'm all that's needed. God only needs one. Brother Branham told us, if you and God are together, you're a majority. So there were 450 prophets to Baal and one prophet to the living God. Think about it, friends. They answered him not a word. To use the words of a modern day prophet, they were smarter than I thought. So Israel instructs for two bullocks to be sacrificed and for them to be cut in pieces, as that was the way that it was done. He says to them, let the 450 prophets, let them choose one of the animals, let them dress it, let them place it on wood, but put no fire under it. So he's stacking the deck in their favor. He's saying, okay, we're going to have a showdown here. And just so you don't say, well, you gave us the wrong sacrifice and that's why he didn't come down on it. You choose what's pleasing to your God. You choose it. Set it up. Get it ready. But don't put wood under it. So they did. And then Elijah, he did the very same thing with the one he let them choose first. He took the one that they didn't choose. Set it up the same way. And then he said, let them call upon the name of their gods, plural, and I will call upon the name of the Lord God, singular. Let them call on the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and Mary, and whoever else they want to throw into the equation. But let the God that is God, let him answer with fire. Let him be the vindication. Let him prove it. So they all agreed. They said, yeah, that sounds good to us. They said, it is well spoken. We like this. I wonder what these guys were thinking. Were they planning to manufacture a revival, perhaps? Did they have some kind of a Tesla battery on the sidelines that they were going to charge up and watch it discharge? Just read where Elon Musk said all the Tesla charging, supercharging stations in Israel. He said, it's free. You guys use it. He's not mincing words. He knows who the terrorists are. And he's not even a religious man. What a rebuke. So Elijah, he told the 450 prophets, he told them, you guys go first. And so they laid out their sacrifice, and no doubt they danced and they shouted and they jumped. And no doubt the music got worked up. And we love spiritual music, friends. We love to worship the Lord. But if that's all we do, we haven't gone far enough. No doubt they danced. No doubt they shouted. No doubt they pierced their skin and blood went this way and this went that way. And no doubt there was some prophesying. And this went on from morning till noontime. It was a nice long worship service, and they're calling upon the name of Baal. But there was no voice, and I hope you're listening tonight. This is central to our thought. There was no voice that followed after the supposed signs. There were signs. We don't know what kind of signs there were, but the scripture tells us in the end time, there'll be signs and lying wonders. Nothing wrong with the signs, but the ones that they're coming to are liars. So there was no voice that followed after these supposed signs from the living God. So Elijah, he began to mock them. Oh, I wish I could have been there. In one sense, I was. Just listen to a trial, in a court trial, and other messages from our day. Listen to a prophet stand and say, all right, take, I got a Bible, you got a Bible. You say the God of your Bible is this, I say the God of the Bible is that. Why don't you take your Bible first and come stand right here by my side? He said, the quietest place, 300 preachers. Not one of them came up. All of them afterwards said they'd get baptized. None of them did. There was no voice that followed after their signs. So Elijah began to mock them. And still no voice. Oh, sure. Lots of action. Lots of anointing. Friends, if we're not careful, we'll put too much emphasis on that. I'm not against that, and you'll see that after a while. I'm not against that at all. But if that's all we have, you got to question what we have. There was no voice that followed after their supposed signs. They jumped up and down on the altar. I was in meetings in Africa back in 1995, and I saw, Ben was there. I saw there was a redhead in a sea of black. I knew where he was sitting. I could see my son out there. There were several thousand people in this meeting. And I saw the minister spinning in circles. I didn't know somebody could do that. Kind of like an ice skater without ice. Then I saw him get up on a glass pulpit that was see-through. And I saw him spin around there too. And I saw the people reacting. But there was no voice. That man is now being worshipped. They call him Elohim Roscoe. Elijah began to mock them. They jumped on the altar. They cut themselves with knives. You say, how do you know a prophet told us? They cried out aloud, and yet no answer came. And this continued on until the evening time. This continued on through the church ages until the evening time. And still there was no answer. God doesn't remain silent, friends. God will be silent for a season. But when He speaks, when the lion roars, everything else shuts up. They can carry on. Hyenas can make some pretty wicked sounds. Hyenas can be pretty fierce. A female hyena, you don't want to mess with her. But when a lion roars, that just settles it. The rest of the animal kingdom has sense enough to shut up. These devils that were being called, oh, hallelujah. These devils that were being called on the carpet, they knew better than to speak up. They were given every opportunity, morning, afternoon, now it's evening time. Could have heard a pin drop. Quietest place you ever been. So Elijah then calls for all the people to gather around in the evening time. And the first thing he does is he rebuilds the altar first. Showing that his ministry is a ministry of restoration. I will restore, saith the Lord. They had broken down the altar, desecrated it. They took the altar bench out of the church. First thing he did was rebuild the altar, rebuild the dwelling place of the living God. So he places the wood down and he places the bullock pieces on the altar and he even digs a trench around the altar. Now this must have seemed really strange to the rest of those that were there. Why is he digging a trench around the altar? We've never seen something like this. He instructs them to fill 4 barrels with water and then to pour it on the sacrifice. But don't stop there. Pour it on the wood. And don't stop there. Pour it on the altar. The altar is made of stone. Why do you need to pour water on the altar? You'll find out in a moment. He tells him, do this 3 times in total. Go ahead and pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And let's see what happens. There was a challenge that was made to Brother Branham when he was overseas one time. I think it was in India. And these people were praying to devils. There were different things that were taking place. A table, I think, was being lifted up. Then Brother Branham spoke in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, you spoke in all these other names. Then he spoke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything settled back down. Let the God that's God, let him prove that he's God. Has he done that for you tonight, friends? Of course he has. Now, have you ever tried to light a fire with wet wood? Anybody? I can remember some miserable times that we would spend out at the surf beach in California, out at the ocean. We're gathered around, let's build a fire. All the wood's wet. We didn't have a blowtorch with us. I worked at a steak restaurant one time that the owner wasn't too wise, in my opinion. He was penny. How's the story go? Pound foolish and a penny. Penny wise and a pound foolish. A cord of oak wood. So we cooked over a barbecue pit and we... Just about everything, we use this oak wood, California oak, very good flavor, very good smell, very hard wood, a lot of energy that's released from it. Burns good when it's dry. Well, it was $140 for a cord of wood, and we'd go through a cord of wood in maybe, I don't know, a couple of weeks maybe. So he thought he would save some money, and he bought a port of wood for $100 that was still green. Green wood it's the same as trying to light wet wood. So we had no choice. We got to get the pit going. We got to cook over this. What are we going to do? We got creative. We got to the place where we would put cardboard in there, and then we would use charcoal lighter. You shouldn't have to do that, but we poured charcoal lighter in there. We get the cardboard burning, and then we took a hair dryer, a blow dryer, and we blew on that flame until it came like a torch. And after a little bit, the wood would start burning. But it would burn, it would give off this kind of black, sooty, greasy smoke, and you're breathing it in, and you're trying to cook over it, but we got it to actually burn. But it never would have burned without this blow dryer. I remember the boss's son, he was spoiled, and he got to do things that he shouldn't have been able to do, and was having a little trouble coming under headship of the evening chef, and he got in there to open the restaurant and get things set up for the evening service and the evening dinner service. And it was time to light the fire. Well, he thought, well, if a little bit of lighter fluid's good, a lot is better. He must have used a whole canister of charcoal lighter fluid. You guessed it. He lit that. And the flames were so big, there was a sprinkler system in there, thankfully, or the whole place would have burned down. There was a sprinkler system. Well, it went off, and now all the food and everything that was prepared for the evening meal, it's all gone to waste. And of course, we don't have a fire that's burning. So, but fortunately, the place didn't burn down. So suffice it to say, I say all of this because I know from experience, and probably you do too. We can read about it and say, okay, I get it. But try and light wet wood. So he tells them, don't just douse the wood with water. Douse the carcass that we're going to burn. Douse that with water. And douse the altar. Don't do it once. Don't do it twice. Do it three times. And then while you're at it, fill this trench with water. What in the world is going on? Have you ever seen people try to manufacture a revival? Sometimes they will all leave claiming that they had a revival. I've been in services like that where I was invited. They said, everybody's welcome. I was invited. I went. And of course, you learn that you were invited, but not really. They didn't expect you to come because they wouldn't have come if you would have invited them. So they wanted to be able to check the unity box. But I actually showed up. And when I showed up, there were two preachers that were sitting right in front of me. And the pastor was up at the pulpit. And because the pastor was there, these two preachers wouldn't even look at me. You say, oh, you're just got a complex and whatever. Okay. So when the preacher said, turn around and shake everyone's hand, well, that ought to settle it, right? There was a circle. There must have been water poured all around me. Must have been a moat. Not one person shook my hand. There was one brother that finally did shake my hand, but it was after the service, and it was behind the tent where nobody would see him. And yet they just had the biggest revival that you ever saw. Spirits moving. You can have services where the genuine Spirit of God is moving. And other spirits too. And you hear the genuine Spirit of God anointing somebody. And you hear some screams that ought to be at a Satan worship festival. And yet, it's a revival. But what was the proof of whether it was a revival or not? If it was a revival, they would have shook my hand. Oh, come on, don't stare at me. It is that simple. If it's the true Spirit of God moving on your soul, everybody looks good. Your worst enemy.
1 Kings 18, verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near. And he said, Lord God of Abraham. Notice, he's not jumping around. He's not dancing. Nothing wrong with that, but he's just talking to the Lord. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God of in Israel, and that I am thy servant. So he's going to ask for three things. Let it be known that you're the God in Israel. Let it be known that I'm your servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. I'm your servant, and it's your word that told me to do what I'm doing. And I'm just doing what you told me to do. It's scriptural. I'm not doing something outside of the word. I'm not working something up. I'm not manufacturing anything. I'm doing this at thy word, O Lord. That's where the title, at thy word, O Lord, comes from. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Notice he's using Elijah to do it, but it's actually God that's turning their heart. Because if he didn't send Elijah, their hearts wouldn't be turned. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. So the first thing that it comes down on is the sacrifice. But so you would think maybe something would happen and the fire got, the wood got started. And then the sacrifice. This is backwards. God's showing that this isn't science. It isn't an accident, and it's not even a workup. It couldn't be. Because this fire went to the sacrifice first. And the wood, and the stones. So you say, why did he wet the stones? To show that he's going to drive the water off those stones and burn them too. Friends, a God that can burn anything, he's got to be God. But he didn't stop there. Listen to this. And the dust. The sacrifice, the wood, the altar. Oh, there's something left here. Dust. Let's burn that up too. That's everything. Everything that was there. Everything. Not just certain things, showing that he's God. And licked up the water that was in the trench. That's five things now. The water's gone. Anybody ever seen fulgurite? I saw it for the first time and I didn't know what it was. So I had to consult with our local rock expert, our local geologist. My son-in-law and I were coming down the backside of the Catalinas on our backsides. It was supposed to be an easy hike, but there had been a fire that year, and because of the fire, the slopes are pretty steep. There was a trail that went down the side that would take you down to Catalina State Park from the top of Mount Lemmon. But because of the fire, the trail was gone in a lot of places, and whatever you would grab a hold of was gone. So we literally, I mean, I had to throw my pants away when I got home. Don't worry, I waited until I got home. They were so full of holes. They were full of holes because I spent most of my time on my backside coming down that mountain. But about a third of the way down, I came across this stone that I'd never seen anything like it. It looked like melted glass, but it looked like an exotic glass. There was crystalline and different colors that were mixed in, and I thought, wow, I've never seen anything like this. I'll preface it by saying I found some amber one time that I thought was precious. I was in a hunt with my Micaiah up in Unit 4, and there's a lot of geodes and a lot of other amazing things that you can pick up there. But I found this amber, and I thought, wow, you know, this is probably a million years old, and, you know, the stuff that they find insects in. And so I took it to our resident geologist, and he says, that's a beer bottle. It was melted glass from a... So I was a little hesitant, but this stone that I found, it was so unusual. And I went online, and I'm looking for an explanation. Brother Merrick just took one look at it, and he says, that's fulgurite. And I said, well, I've never heard of fulgurite. Is that, you know, is that limestone or granite? Or, oh, no, no. Fulgurite, it comes from, I think it's a Latin word, fulgur, which means lightning. Fulgurite is fossilized lightning. Fossilized lightning. So what I was looking at was a stone or a collection of stones that had been struck by lightning. And that's probably, I didn't even think about that until just this moment, that's probably where the fire started that burned up that part of the mountain, because so many of them are lightning strikes. So I was glad that I brought a bunch back with me, because I told, so Virgil says, oh, we should go back. I said, no, that rock's safe. I'm never going back there. I don't care if it was platinum. I ain't going back. I've learned my lesson. This fire that fell must have been on the order of like the lightning that fell. I'm not going to call it lightning because the scripture said it was fire. But it was so powerful that it burned up the stone. And it burned up come on. If you're still a doubter after this, there's just no hope for you. And watch out for the fire. And when all the people saw it. So friends, there is a point to signs. God sends signs for a purpose. And we're not against signs. We recognize there's a purpose to it. But that's not the end of it. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. We've been following after this make-believe thing, this workup. This Lord is the God. He's the God of our forefathers, and He just showed up. The mighty God just unveiled Himself before us. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. So you've been listening to all these guys that are working all this stuff up and getting you to worship other gods. Go round up these leaders and let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon. And He slew them there. You say, oh, that's cruel and that's horrible. He put a stop to it. Israel is saying right now, every Hamas warrior will die. And there, I felt that. I felt that. You know what that is? That's that evil spirit of this age. Ecumenical evil spirit. Oh, they didn't mean anything, and this, that, and the... That was a massacre. You let that live, and what happens? They've been attacked by this group 5 times in the last 20 years. And every time they do, they run back and hide in their hole. They go hide in hospitals, churches, mosques, children's schools. Right now they're saying, oh, just let them have some kind of a peaceful... You know, let them, basically let them escape. Let the civilians Let the civilians walk out. Let me ask you, who's a civilian over there? Well, maybe all these 500 weren't so bad. You let one of them live and you're going to deal with them again. Now, our gospel isn't to go out and murder people, so don't think we're preaching that. Our battle's not a flesh and blood battle, but it is for Israel. They're fighting for their very existence. So Elijah, he was sold out to the Lord. There was no gray area. There was no wishy-washy. There was no political correctness. I love it when God has men that'll just, not for friend or favor, the whole church can leave. But they're going to stand there on God's word. Because they know God will back up his word. But you can't be sure of anything else. If we do it to try to get along with one another, we can't be sure of that. Well, if you just compromise this way or that way or this way, it'll bring peace. For how long? Elijah was sold out to the Lord. And he was commissioned to turn the hearts of the people back to the true and living God of Israel. And he was sincere. And he was jealous over them with a godly jealousy. He was jealous over Israel. He was God's true servant. He was a man, but he was God's true servant. And the Lord vindicated his word, and the Lord proved that he was the God of their fathers. And he did it in a supernatural way. So I'm not leaving the supernatural out for a moment. I'm just saying it's not enough. Of course, the supernatural was sent as a sign to the people to get the attention of the people. You see fire fall from heaven and you see an altar get consumed and an animal get consumed and water disappear, dust get consumed, wood burn up. I doubt there was even an ash. I mean, if it's going to annihilate a stone, what's it going to do to wood? Brings a new meaning to burnt offering. So God always sends a sign first to get the attention of the people. But that wasn't all that needed to be done. The people needed to hear, once again, the true voice of God. And to hearken unto his words as it was brought out of the mouths of his prophets. We need to hear God's voice. We need to hear God's voice. We need to hear God's voice. The supernatural is wonderful, but the devil can do the supernatural. We're not doing away with that. We're not belittling it at all. But what follows it? We need to hear the voice of God. Not to work up something. And then call it a day. Well, only these certain ones. We've got a circuit and there's only these certain ones that can preach. And they're the only ones that can pray for people. And they're going to put on a demonstration for you. And this is the move of God. And here's the vindication because here's the supernatural. Okay, but what's coming after that? I'll just go ahead and tell you right now. I heard the voice of God in that room before we came out when we were in prayer. I heard his voice. I have to hear his voice. A sign is not enough for me. I appreciate the sign. The sign shows me that I should at least stop and look. And listen. But I want to hear a voice. I want to hear a living voice. I don't want to hear about a living voice. I want to hear a living voice. So even after this great supernatural vindication, there were some that saw the supernatural, but did not want to hear the voice that the sign was pointing them to, or didn't stick around to hear the voice. Jezebel heard about the supernatural vindication, but she must have doubted the sign because she was enraged that her church was exposed as being dead, formal, twice plucked up by the roots, though they had the supernatural. She was furious that her prophets were killed. So she sends somebody to tell Elijah that he's going to be killed in return. And she even says, let the gods, plural, do this to me and more if this isn't done to Elijah by this time tomorrow. Date setting. Now, Elijah, he's done what he's been called to do. He's been faithful. But he's a man, and we have limits. So he's completely worn out, and he has given his all. And he has walked constantly for days now in the supernatural realms. And that's taken strength from him as well. So he just wants to go somewhere and sleep. He just wants to go somewhere and get some much needed rest. And when he hears about what Jezebel had said, he runs for his life to Beersheba. He leaves his servant there at Beersheba. And then he goes a day's journey further to his special place in the wilderness. And I hope everybody's listening now. I hope I got your attention. He had a special place. You say, oh, well, that was God's prophet. Every son and daughter of God have a special place with God. Amen. Or you're not born again. Okay, we'll drive that home. Amen. We don't say that critically. We say that if you haven't found that place, you're getting robbed. You're missing out. I wouldn't want to be a Christian without him today. I tried that. It's called religion. It's called modern day Christianity. That's religion without God. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He runs for his life, leaves his servant behind. Goes to his special place in the wilderness. And in this place, there's a juniper tree that he can lay under, and it's a place where he can find rest. The branches will protect him from the elements, from the sun, from the wind, the rain maybe. The ministry has taken its toll on him. He's worn out. He's not able to even think straight. He can't connect two thoughts. He might have had trouble remembering his best friend's name on this day. That's how wore out your mind can get. The anointing of the Lord has left him. That always happens at some point. We as ministers, we pray sometimes that we'll still be anointed the next day. But guess what? There's a next day after that. So it's Monday morning for Elijah. But the devil doesn't want him to get any rest. He's no doubt deeply discouraged, friends, because the desire of his heart and the burden of his heart was to see the hearts of the people turn back to God. And yet Mother Church is going to... He's a rejected prophet. Mother Church wants him killed. So he's done all that he knows to do. He doesn't know anything else that he could have done. He's not saying, oh, if I'd have only done this or that. He did everything that he was supposed to do. He was prayed up before the campaign. He was sincere. He delivered the mail, if you will. He delivered the word of the Lord that was put on his heart. He fully obeyed the Lord. And then God marvelously vindicated that this was his prophet and that this was his prophet, that his prophet was speaking his word that the Lord had given him. So what more could Elijah have done? What more could the Lord do? Let me ask you that tonight. What more could he do in our day? They all saw the signs and the wonders. They all saw the supernatural vindication. It wasn't done in a dark corner. It was done in broad daylight. They all heard the sound of the rushing mighty wind as it came through. And their prophets were all killed. Talk about a vindication. These voices were shut up. Just as our prophet preached a trial and a court trial, several variations of it, he challenged the modern churches. He challenged the church leaders. He put Jesus on trial and tried the case. Nobody refuted it. Nobody came forward and argued. It's easy to wait 60 years after even the eyewitnesses that were there are off the scene. And then start saying, well, I wonder about this and I wonder about that. And I went to the post office and I went to the county, whatever. We don't need a vindication from the government. If you need vindication, then you need to find out if Egypt has any record of a bush burning that Moses went and spoke to. As far as we know, Moses is the only one that saw it. I don't know, maybe somebody saw it a week later or a week before. I don't care. I want the word of the Lord. I want what's vindicated. Friends, if you can find anything that's more vindicated than this, I'm all ears. I want to hear the voice. He's done all he knows to do in all sincerity. Fully obeyed the Lord. All the signs, the wonders, the vindications took place. They heard the sound of the rushing mighty wind. There are false prophets. Every single one of them were killed. Their voices are forever silent. And now Elijah, he's so tired. And he felt that he'd failed the Lord because they now sought for his life. So he asked the Lord to take him off the scene. Now listen, friends. I want to clear up the record here tonight. Because the church has taught this wrong for too many years. This is not Elijah depressed. This is not a spirit of depression. There are people that will hide behind a spirit of depression and put it in the pages of the Bible. Elijah was not depressed. Elijah did not have a spirit of depression. It is not Elijah wallowing in self-pity. It is not Elijah now wanting to lash out at those that would help him. It's not Elijah going negative. It's not Elijah starting to smoke cigarettes and play bingo at the church. It's not Elijah backslid. It's not Elijah wanting to quit because he's discouraged even. Let me say that again. You say he wanted to die. That's not why he wanted to die. He didn't want to die because he was discouraged. That wasn't it. This is Elijah at the end of his human strength. And human strength has a limit. This is Elijah in his special place that he always goes to in order to be alone with the Lord. I want you to listen very closely tonight, friends. Elijah did not run from the Lord. Elijah ran to the Lord. Elijah ran to his special place. He ran into the hands of the Lord. He wasn't running away from the job. He wasn't quitting. He's just at his wit's end. He's wore out. There's nothing left. He can't go on. His strength is gone. So he didn't run from God, he ran to God. Now every one of us, once in a while, we can get down, we can get discouraged, we can get the blues because of the trials of this life. But a spirit of depression is something that's altogether different. A spirit of depression goes far beyond that. That spirit feels sorry for itself, and that spirit wants to quit, and that spirit doesn't want to serve God or man anymore. Elijah didn't run off to Disneyland. He didn't go out and try and pick up a girl on Facebook. And he wasn't trying to run from his position in Christ. He was just tired. He was wore out. Worn to a frazzle, as we would say. And he needed comfort from somebody that would give him comfort. And now we're getting to our title. He went to where he could get what he needed. He went to the place, the only place that he could get what he needed. The church can't comfort you. Oh, the church will do their best, friends. And God will comfort you through the church many times. But you've got to have your own spot. You've got to have your own place. You've got to have your own refuge. Where when everything is up and down and in and out, there's your place of safety. There's your place of rest. A place where you can go and cry it all out and know you won't be chased away. Know you'll be heard. Know you'll be understood. A place where you can go and you don't even have words and you'll be comforted. He ran to God. He ran to the special place where he would go to meet God alone. Now, friends, I'm driving hard on this for a purpose. We've got suicide devils. We've got crazy devils. We've got all kinds of devils that we're facing in this last day. And those devils will convince you that your life isn't worth it. And those devils will convince you that nobody loves you. And those devils will convince you that you have no future. What you are experiencing is what those devils are experiencing. They have no future. And yes, nobody loves them. Not even the devil. It's over for them. There's no use in going on. But you've got a future. You've got an expected end. I'm fighting devils tonight. I'm trying to get you to recognize a devil when it comes on you. He wasn't depressed. He was wore out. He had ministered. He'd poured his heart out on Sunday. Now he needed to be ministered to himself in return on Monday. So the Lord who sent Elijah, he knows this. So he doesn't beat up Elijah. He doesn't interrogate him. Elijah asked the Lord in prayer to take his life. You say, well, that sounds like self-pity and it sounds like depression. No. To let him go home. If you've never been in a state like this, you'll never know what this is like. In his worn out state on Monday, he feels that he's failed his calling. He says, for I am no better than my fathers. And the Lord sees his condition. You can't even think straight when you're that wore out. So if you've experienced that ever, you're real careful not to make decisions on days like that. Because you can't even think straight. You're wide open. So the Lord sees the condition of his prophet and he chooses an angel with the softest hands. That's the God we serve, friends. He searches them all and he says, let me see your hands. No, that won't do. That won't do. Yes, you're faithful, but you're a little rough sometimes. Let me find the ones that's got these hands that are so soft that they feel like a pillow. He finds this angel and he says, go and minister to my servant Elijah. Friends, these angels know how to minister unto the sons and daughters of God. They are sent for that purpose. They're not greater than you. They're sent to minister to you. So that angel says, all right, take the phone off the hook. Keep every evil spirit away from them. Those that write emails on Monday after the Sunday service, take down the internet. If he sees that, it's gonna just tear at him. Just go gently stroke his forehead. Take a legion of angels with you. No, wait a minute. Take 10,000 and gently sing to him, sweet hour of prayer, while he sleeps. Don't wake him up. Draw the shades. Push those juniper needles underneath them. Pile them up good. Cover them above with branches. If he gets a little warm, fan the air around him and keep him cool. Just take your wings and go like this. His nerves are shot. He's worn completely out. Do you believe that Jesus got this way? Of course he did. He wasn't depressed. But he couldn't go on. Remember when he was tempted by the devil? You remember how afterwards angels ministered unto him? Why? Because he needed angels to minister unto him. He just fought the greatest battle. So Elijah is so wore out, he has no idea all that was accomplished in that Sunday service. Doesn't have a clue. All he has is what the devil's trying to tell him. He's second-guessing himself. He's saying to himself, why did I say this? Or why did I say that? And why didn't some people receive it when we both know that it was the Lord? Why do they want to kill me for being obedient to the heavenly calling? Every Christian has a place that they run to regularly to get along with the Lord. Let me say that again. No gray area. Every Christian has a place that they run to regularly to get along with the Lord. If you're sitting there tonight thinking, I don't, there is that place. You haven't found it yet. But it's calling you, friends. And it will satisfy. In that place is where you find comfort. In that place is the only place that you find comfort. The Lord is my comfort. In that place is where your strength is renewed. In that place is where you are at rest. You don't have to worry about anything. You know you're safe. The world is still spinning all around you. You still got problems that you're going to have to face the next day. But right now you're resting. It's a place where you can talk things over with the Lord and He'll minister to your needs. Let me just be bold again. We can't truly call ourselves Christians if we don't have a place where we can go and meet Him alone. And when we come out of that place, friends, we're renewed, not depressed. I don't get this lifelong depression that people go into. It's a devil. I've fought with those devils too. I know a devil when I meet one. It's a devil. Does it make you feel hopeful? Does it make you love the person that's trying to help you? No, it's a devil. It actually is doubting everything that God told you. That's one way you know it's a devil. He's our portion tonight, friends. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. So let's don't call him a liar when we fail. When we fail to run to him and allow him to prove his word to us. That's what a spirit of depression does. It calls him a liar. Oh, I tried that, it doesn't work. And I tried this and it doesn't work. Well, pray. I tried that and it doesn't work. You're calling him a liar. This works. Maybe I'll get struck by lightning tonight. Maybe this will be the last time I preach, but I know where I'm standing. You find him, or you make sure you find him, friends. Don't look for some supernatural vindication. There will be supernatural vindications, but don't stop short of him. Every one of us has a place to run to, not run from. You can't stay in his presence and continue to have negative thoughts. If we'll be honest tonight, and I hope we can all be honest, we've went into his presence having negative thoughts. We've tried to enter into his presence, but he loves it off of us. We can't stay that way. You can't accuse a brother. Oh, you can start out accusing him. You can say, whack him, Lord, send down lightning. But if you stay there, you'll feel sorry for him. You'll understand. The Lord is thy comfort. Can I read something to you? I could just Reader's Digest this and preach it. But the way that it's said, I can't say it any better. What hearest thou, Elijah? He says, I think we could express it like the old colored lady said down south when she'd been hit by an automobile. A car struck her. And they asked her if she wanted to sue for damages. She said, Lazy, no, child. I don't need no damage. I need repair. And I think that's about the way the church needs tonight is a repair. A place under the juniper tree. So we can be alone. Friends, well, I'll just leave that alone. The prophet that great day, how disappointed he was that he had done just exactly what God told him to do. And he thought, surely if he did that, the people would believe it. But he come to find out that all the miracles that God told him to perform, he did it. And still Jezebel not only refused it, but she said she would stop his campaign. That's the church coming against the prophet. He couldn't have done no more of those campaigns. She'd cut his head off if he did. You see, when the devil gets a hold of a person, he just does him awful. And he thought the signs and the wonders of a living God would be sufficient. But it wasn't. So his poor heart was broke. He thought it would be sufficient, not for himself, for them. So his poor heart was broke. And he ran to the juniper tree, notice this, for refuge. He's not running away. He's running too. This is not Adam running from God. This is Elijah running into the loving arms of Jehovah. And he laid out there. You say, well, what about him saying, I'm the only one? Wasn't that depression and self-pity? He can't think straight. And there are times, if you're honest with yourself tonight, there are times when you feel like you're the only one. And God has to tell you, look, I got more than just you. His poor heart was broke. He ran into the juniper tree for refuge. And he laid out there. And I can see him leaving his servant many miles behind. Notice this. What's that a type of? He's not looking for man to comfort him. His servant would have done everything that he could.
He's looking to God.
He ran to the juniper tree for refuge, and he laid out there, and I can see him leaving his servant many miles behind and just went to himself out under the tree. All of us. Somebody say all of us. All of us. All of us have a little place we go to when we get in those troubles. Friends, if you haven't found that place yet, you have that place. Well, I don't know where it is, and it hasn't just come to me. Every one of us that's found that place looked for it. Every one of us. We cried out. Unless I find you, God, I'm done. That's when you'll find it. When you're looking for it here or there or there, you won't find it. But when you get to the end of your rope and you say, God, only you can satisfy. Only you can do this for me. You'll find it. He laid out there and I could see him leaving his servant many miles behind and just went to himself out under the tree. All of us has a little place we go to when we get in those troubles. I got a little cave that the FBI couldn't find me, that I get into. Stay in there for 2 or 3 days, have to wade up a creek, up over a hill, through a branch, go under a tree, and go down into a cave. That sounds like a lot of work. It's worth it. Yeah, you might have to. It might be a little ordeal to get away with the Lord. Well, they won't let me off work. Well, it seems like you figure out a way to get off work to go hunting or shopping or go to Disneyland. You figure that out. Why can't you figure out a way to go spend some time with the Lord? Come on, friends. I didn't say it was easy. You'll pay a price. But you'll say it's worth it. And there's always somewhere that we can retreat and get in the presence of God again. And I believe, friends, that no man has a right to profess Christianity as a Christian until he's found such a retreat. Isn't that what we've been saying? This is not calling you a bad person. This is just telling you that if you haven't found that, you are identified, you know about Christ, but you need to know Christ. And this is where you find him. Oh, I can feel it here tonight, friends. I feel the pulls. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know my husband doesn't understand. My wife doesn't understand. This one doesn't understand that. But I know that place. I have that spot. There may come a time when men who are worldly trained, not godly sent, might be able to explain all the supernatural away from the Bible. They might be able to satisfy the carnal mind that doesn't know God, that the days of miracles is past, that there's no such thing as a Holy Ghost. In other words, present tense God. But if a man has ever had an experience where you met God, all the theologians in the world could never take that experience away from you. You met God face to face and you know what you're talking about. Like Moses at the sacred sands on the backside of the desert, when a man ever meets God upon the sacred sands of that sacred place of retreat, no devils in hell can ever take that away from him. For he knows that he talked face to face with God. They can explain anything they want to, but you were there when it happened. And you know what you speak of. And Elijah knew that his God was real. And so he had brought it to a showdown. But then when the people had turned down the supernatural sign, there's nothing to it. The lightning might have struck. Jezebel made her threats. All of her gang, they didn't want to give up their social societies. And little old Elijah's heart was broke. That's not depression. His heart is broke. Any minister knows what Monday morning is after a hard day on Sunday. Compare that. You preachers' wives, you know how your husband is on Monday morning after he's preached hard two or three times Sunday. He's so wore out. What do you think about poor little old Elijah? There he was, no one to comfort him. And he stopped under this juniper tree and he knelt down and he looked up to God and said, Lord, I'm so tired. I'm so weary. Why don't you just take my life and let me go? My father's all went, so let me go. Men who deal in the supernatural, who stay in the presence of God, and when you see God's program turned down and you preach it, and you try your best and you do everything that God tells you to do, and still they walk away from it, it's heartbreaking. God Almighty has done enough here in Angelus Temple this last week till it had Los Angeles set afire. No wonder he said it'll be more easy, excuse me. No wonder he said it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment. And that poor little fella, skinny, laying there with his gray hair hanging over his shoulders, God said, my servant needs some rest. God's mercy to his servant. And he just laid him down on a bunch of weeds and he went to sleep. I'd imagine there were 10,000 angels watching him sleep. There's one assurance the believer has. Though the world turned him down, yet God loves him. The world may call you a holy roller. They may call you a fanatic. But if you are true to God, there's one sure thing. God loves you. And his angels are encamped about those who fear him. I'm a witness of that tonight, friends. There were angels encamped about me when I was a sinner. I should have died. I can tell you, I can give you testimony after testimony. It's almost like I was trying to die, pushing the envelope. But God had a purpose. God had a time. I'm glad they kept me from myself. I imagine on every limb, all through the place, was swarms of angels. You think you're all alone? You've been through a battle? That's when the angels come around, friends. Don't get discouraged. God's in control. I imagine there were 10,000 angels watching him sleep. There's one assurance the believer has. Though the world turned him down, yet God loves him. The world may call you holy roller, they may call you a fanatic, but if you're true to God, there's one sure thing, God loves you. And his angels are encamped about those who fear him. I'd imagine on every limb all around through the place with swarms of angels, and God came down. Notice angels, and then God came down. Friends, my Bible reads, and I saw another mighty angel descend from heaven. He's here tonight. There's angels all around, and he's here. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. He wants to meet with each and every one of you. There's not one of us that's special and the rest of us aren't. He wants to meet with every one of you. I wish I could preach in Spanish or Cherokee or Apache, as Brother Darrell would say. I imagine on every limb, all around through the place, with swarms of angels, and God came down and he said, my poor little tired servant. He's so nervous and tore up. Notice, he's not calling him a quitter. He's not a quitter. He just can't go any further. And he's done what he was supposed to do. My poor little tired servant. He was so nervous and tore up. He don't know what to do. I want to pick out the angel standing here that's got the softest hands. Don't you scare him. Walk over, stroke his brow right easy. I want the best cook among you.
We have some good cooks here. It'd be a battle. I'm not even going to go there. You're all winners as far as I'm concerned. I want the best cook among you. Go up there. Get all the vitamins that you can find and put in this cornmeal. The world's turned them down, but I'm going to treat them right. Friends, take that home with you tonight. You say the world's done this, that, and the other. I'm not arguing with you. Don't get discouraged. Don't get depressed. He treats you right. The world's turned them down, but I'm going to treat them right. Hallelujah. That means praise our God. Don't get scared of that. Bring forth the best that we got. Cook them a corn cake and set it down some water. And this soft-handed angel went over and stroked the little servant of God on the brow. Remember, if you've done your best, God still got those angels in order. He loves you just the same as He loved Elijah. Believe that, Sister Esther? He does. You thought you were alone at certain times, but you weren't. You knew you weren't alone. You didn't have our fellowship, but you had His. He promised, friends. I know you know it's true. And He stroked His brow, and Elijah woke up. And I may hear Him say something like this: "The Lord your God who loves you." You've done your best, Elijah. Notice God's not beating him down. He's encouraging him. You've done your best, Elijah. What more could I ask? I only sent those signs for a witness that in the day of judgment, they'll have to stand it alone. You've done just as I told you to do. I know you're tired and weary now. And the Lord God, creator of heavens and earth, has sent me to feed you this bread and this water. Elijah rubbing his eyes, raising up, little frail shaking hands. He took a hold of the bread and he ate it. Just then, the great angelic choir comes out. Oh, formed a little panoramic around him like that and began to sing the songs like no mother could coo her baby to sleep. Let him sleep again. Then Father turned around and he says, "You know, I love him so much. The journey's great. He's got a lot to go through, yet I'm not through with him, so I must feed him again." So he called the angels, and he dumped in another big bundle of vitamins, and he cooked up another corn cake, and he set him a cruse of water and stroked his brow and fed him again. I'm so glad that there's a juniper tree. When we get all wore and tore up, that we can get under that juniper tree and find spiritual vitamins to travel any kind of a trip. There he laid, woke up feeling a little better. He went 40 days and 40 nights. I'd imagine if there was a doctor listening in, wouldn't you like to know what kind of a vitamin he used that'd keep a man on a corn cake and a glass of water for 40 days and 40 nights? It's a 7-course meal that we're eating. That's the power of our God. Elijah gets rested. He gets nourished under the watchful eye of Jehovah. And he heads next to a cave that's in the mountains. And the Lord asks him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He is now in his right mind. He's rested. Now he has some questions for the Lord. It wasn't time. He needed comfort. Get comforted, then ask the questions. Let the Lord just tell you everything's okay. Let Him get you rest. Get you in your right mind. He's got some questions for the Lord. He explains to the Lord that he's jealous over Israel. They've torn down the altars. He says they've forsaken the Lord's covenant. They've killed all the prophets. And now they sought to kill me too. And the Lord tells Elijah, he says, "Go stand at a certain place on this mountain. Go stand before the Lord." He obeys, and the Lord's presence passes by in a strong and mighty wind.
to the point that even the rocks are blasted to pieces. And then that very same presence that blasted the rocks causes a great earthquake. And then after the earthquake, he passes in a pillar of fire. The scripture tells us, but the Lord was not in the wind or in the earthquake or in the fire. But we know that it was his presence that passed before Elijah. So that's not what the scripture was not saying that his presence wasn't there. The scripture is telling us something different. You want to hear what that is tonight? Got another minute? What does it mean, Brother Doug? The Lord spoke to him in a still, small voice. So it's not that these were not genuine supernatural experiences. And I've heard this preached. You know, we've had this split in our own ranks where you got Pentecost and actually fanaticism on one side, and then you've got it's the word over here on the other side. And then there's those of us that are saying it's the word and the supernatural. Right? So those that are totally against, oh, they'll preach this so proudly, you know, we got the word. I've had people come to our church and take this text and try to do away with Pentecost with this text, saying, well, God wasn't in it. It was just a still, small voice. You're missing it. You are missing the understanding of this scripture. It was his presence that passed before Elijah. It was supernatural. So this is not saying that it wasn't supernatural or that the Lord wasn't there. It's not that the presence of the Lord was not passing by. Here's the point. Are you ready for it? The voice of the Lord was not in those supernatural experiences. The voice was not in those supernatural experiences. Elijah, he came to this place because he needed to hear the voice of the Lord. And in the voice of the Lord, it's not noise. Neither is it sensations. And we're not against those things. Where his presence is, there's sensations. Where his presence is, a lot of times there's noise. But the charismatic movement, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, they experience those things. But they don't hear a voice. Too many times people can get so focused on the supernatural that they miss out on hearing from God of the supernatural. The supernatural is always assigned to us to get our attention. So listen closely. The supernatural will be there if the voice is there. There will be the supernatural. But you can have the supernatural and not have the voice. So the Lord was getting Elijah's attention with the supernatural so that he would know that it was him. Only God could come and manifest him that way in an earthquake and rocks going this way and that, pillar of fire. But Elijah was waiting for the voice of the sign that would follow. And too many, they get so caught up in the shouts, the dances, and the other things that come with the supernatural. And we're not critical of those things at all. But they can get so caught up in those things that they don't wait for the voice, listen to this, that always follows the signs. Sometimes, different ones will sit in a service. They'll hear somebody scream. They'll hear another person cry. They'll hear somebody else shout. And then they'll leave the service thinking, there must be something wrong with me. Right, Sister Susan? Yeah. Why doesn't this happen to me? And when we get discouraged like that,
We aren't listening for the still, small voice. We're listening to another voice.
Yet, be honest tonight. Which would you rather have? A chill, a shout, a tingle, or for the Lord to speak to you in a still, small voice?
I should have counted how many of us were standing in my office before the service. I can't speak for everybody else. But in the prayer for the service, I heard a still, small voice. And I didn't feel a chill. There was no sensation. It sounded like a human voice to me. It sounded like a very familiar human voice that I've heard for 30 years now. But I heard a voice in a voice. I heard God speak. And it was so simple. So small. I didn't hear, there was no shouting, was there? Those of you that were in the back room, did anybody hear any shouting? Did you hear a loud voice? No, it was small. And that voice said, Father, we appreciate your presence. We appreciate, basically, I'm paraphrasing, the anointing. We appreciate those things, but we want to hear from you. We want to hear your word. That's what we came here for. You say, well, that didn't sound very complicated, and God wouldn't say something like that. He sure did. And I needed to hear that. I'd already studied, I'd already prepared, I'd already done everything that I know to do. But out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be confirmed. He does this for me. If it doesn't benefit you at all, well, you just pray for your pastor that maybe he's a little behind you. Because I needed that. I didn't see the pillar of fire. I didn't feel a chill. I heard a voice. There's no question in my mind that that's his voice. I know his voice. There's no question. We talk together all the time. I know his voice. And his voice, you take it to the word. If it matches the word, you know it's his voice. Well, I'm just going to quit the church. God told me. That wasn't him. That was the God of this evil age. So which would you rather have? I appreciate feeling his presence. I think that's the way that it was stated. We love to feel you. We do. We do love to feel him. And we're not asking him to not let us feel him. But we're saying, I want to hear from you. If that's you, if that's you that just walked in the room, speak. Speak, my Lord. When he speaks to us, it's so simple. Don't make it come. Don't miss God in his still, small voice in your life. It can come out of your wife's lips. It can come out of your husband's lips. Juniors, auntie. The preacher, the deacon, yes, even the gardener. Don't miss that voice. Who cares where it comes from? Just as long as it's him. Which would you rather? Come on, be honest tonight, friends. Answer that question yourself. Be just as honest as you can be. Which would you rather have? A shouting, screaming service, sensations. Now, I love those things. An anointing energy. Or would you rather hear God speak to you? I know what my answer is. That voice is not noise. Everything else is noise. That voice is a certain sound. We love the gifts. We freely accept them. We love his presence. We long for his presence. We enjoy the times of refreshing that sweep through when we're gathered together or when we're alone in a secret place.
But what we want most of all is to hear that still small voice that follows after the sign. Because His voice is our comfort. Some people have been trained to look for the supernatural experience all the time and to be satisfied only with that. And those that do that are the ones that won't shake your hand after service. They had a supernatural experience, but they didn't hear the voice of God. God's not even talking to them. Because you can't hear from Him and then treat your brother that way. Can't happen. There aren't 15 different Holy Ghosts. There's one. Many times, those people that have been trained that way, they're the ones that struggle with the word that's being preached. And they struggle with receiving the word because they've only been taught to look for a sign. And it's because they haven't been taught to look for the giver that they just settle for the gifts. And it doesn't matter, friends, if you never feel a tingle or a hand placed on your back or you ever shout your shoes off or run around the church. And don't get me wrong, I love to see that. But if that never happens to you and you hear His voice, that's everything. I expect for there to be supernatural experiences in my life every day because my life is supernatural. I'm a supernatural being. But what I long for most of all is to hear His voice. I want to know when I'm wrong. And only His voice can tell me that. Every born-again son or daughter of God seeks to hear His voice. That's how He leads us. That's how He guides us. That's how He comforts us. That's how He corrects us. That's how He teaches us. That's how He edifies us. Friends, let me ask you this tonight. We're not looking for you to put a face to this. But just ask yourself, how many people have you seen in this church that have been so spiritual, that have shouted their shoes off and hallelujah, glory to God, that are not going on with the Lord now? And you're sitting there thinking, well, I didn't feel that. Yeah, but you're still here, aren't you? You've been hearing His word. My sheep hear my voice. That's why some people wanted to kill Elijah after seeing the supernatural on Mount Carmel. Because you can see the supernatural, you can see the signs, and still go straight to hell. Again, we're not in any way at all criticizing any true sign of the Lord. We want those things. But if, let me put it to you this way. If I were to go out of town for a month and then come home to my wife and she hears my car coming up the driveway, sure, her heart might flutter as she recognizes that it isn't Amazon delivering or just anybody driving up the driveway. But it's a certain sound of her husband's car. Now, I'm not making this up. I had a 66 Chevelle Super Sport, had a 396, which I only had the car for a month or so, and it spun a bearing, and the number 8 piston went right through the cylinder and messed up the crankshaft and what have you. So working at dishwasher's wages, $1.94 an hour, I tore that car apart. I rebuilt that engine, put it back together. Had headers on it, had a dual exhaust. At that time, there was a muffler called a Corvair supercharger muffler. I didn't know then why they came up with that name. I don't know now, but it did have a cool sound. It wasn't like those glass packs mufflers, the cherry bombs, they called them, where you got them hot enough, you'd blow the fiberglass out of them, and then they're just noisy. And I hear people's exhaust today, and it's just making noise, and it's like, excuse me, that might be you. I don't,
it had a really nice, you could hear the, it had a high lift cam, short duration, I think it was 560 lift, 286 duration. So I had a lopey idle. Don't you wish you could memorize scripture like you do things of the world? Firing order 18436572. That's burned into my brain. It had rubber motor mounts. I broke them at least a couple times. But when it idle, the car would go like this. Some people accuse me of just having blown shocks, but it was really too much power for a 17-year-old kid, that's for sure, or for anybody for that matter. Anyway, you could hear that car coming. Right, Sister Baker? I'd come up, there's a street that I would have to drive up. It was about two blocks long at least. I guess that would be South T Street. Coming up to Fir. My wife lived on Fir Avenue. So I would turn on Olive. I'd be at least two blocks away. And her mom would say, "Doug's coming." And she'd hear it. "Yep, he's coming." Okay, fast forward. I've been gone a month. I'm coming home. My car makes a certain sound. My wife knows that it's me coming. Now, I don't know. I'm just putting, you know, you can tell me afterwards. You can lie to me afterwards about this. Or she might shout when she hears me coming. She might run around. She might jump up and down and get excited. Because my presence is coming. And there are signs that my presence is coming. I know you're getting excited just thinking about this, right? You can tell when you're going to have a good service sometimes. Sometimes you're just completely surprised. Sometimes you come and you weren't expecting anything. And it turns out to be the best service. It's exactly what you needed, maybe. And there are times when the anticipation, like special meetings, a lot of times it's just building and building and you're just anticipating. So she might shout, she might run around, she might jump up and down, but she's not going to stop there. Oh no, the signs are wonderful. But what they tell her, those signs are telling her that my presence has arrived. And next, she's going to personally hear my voice as all of my attention is upon her and hers upon me. So with that in mind, Elijah waited to hear the voice of the sign and he was not disappointed. That's what we need tonight, friends. We should come together and we should wait to hear that still small voice personally. Don't make it too mysterious though. It can be so natural that if you're not careful, you'll miss it. And for me, once I've heard his voice, now it's time to shout. We can shout when we're worshiping. Nothing wrong with that. We can shout when we think about what the Lord's done with us, for us. Nothing wrong with that. But to me, what makes me shout is when I know I've heard from him. After all, didn't I come to meet with him? And then we will leave encouraged. We will leave with more than just emotion. We will leave strengthened. We will leave renewed. We will leave with a word. And in that word is power. You will always leave different from what you came when he speaks to you. So let me say this one more time, and I know I'm belaboring. I'm about 20 minutes into overtime here tonight, but I don't apologize. Those of you that beat yourself up because you don't scream during the song service, I invite you tonight to stop it. Well, why don't I scream? Don't make that the... Stop it. I don't think my wife was sitting there beating herself up because she didn't scream as I'm coming in my Chevelle. I invite you instead to take him at his word when he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Ask your questions and then wait on the Lord to answer. Listen for that still small voice. You won't hear it in all the noise. That doesn't mean that there can't be any noise. There was noise. When God, when the wind blew and the earthquake took place and the pillar of fire came through and the rushing mighty wind, there was noise. But what you're listening for is not the noise. You're listening for the voice. And it's His great desire tonight, friends, to sup with you, to speak with you, to answer your prayers, to teach you whatsoever you hear. And many times that still small voice speaks to you as the word is being preached. And many of you have told me that. It speaks to you. It's the same voice that you hear every time you come to church. But it speaks to you in a way that's specific to you. And maybe in a way that it never spoke to you before. Other times, it may be a sound that's in your head that might sound like your own voice. But you know that it wasn't your own thought. You know that thought came from somewhere else, and it's encouraging. Oh, there's many ways that He can speak to us as individuals because we're all different. But it's His voice. And His voice will always agree with His word. So I wonder tonight, friends, as we close, I wonder how many times we've missed hearing His voice because we're looking for a sign instead. How many more signs do we need? And then perhaps maybe we didn't see the sign, so we get discouraged, thinking maybe I need a sign before I can hear the still small voice. There was no sign back there in my office before the service. In fact, I was given a testimony. We don't know why things happen, but we know everything happens for a purpose. I was testifying. We were driving to church tonight. We got to Pantano and Wrightstown. And this car turns in front of me and goes, and I'm thinking, okay, so you're going to get home 3 seconds earlier to read the newspaper and you almost got us all killed? Well, that was nothing. The car behind it came and started doing this little dance and was going to go in front of me. And I'm laying on the horn. And I'm thinking, what's your excuse? Here's somebody who's driving 40 miles an hour, headlights on, and you're going to turn right in front of them. And Jill says, this is where that very same thing happened to me. So she's in the back seat about to have a spell. But fortunately, I thank God for it. It's the grace of God. I give Him all the credit, all the glory and all that. But fortunately, we have to drive for other people. It's not enough for you to just watch what you're doing. You got to watch what other people are doing. That's the day we're living in. And it's not enough. Our 3 years living in the Bay Area, if it taught me anything, it's don't watch the taillights in front of you. Watch the taillights in front of them. Because by the time this person hits their brakes, it's too late. Then we were trying to avoid this section of Pantano, you know, they call it road work. That's a kind of a misnomer. There's no work going on the road. All they do is tear it up and then put cones everywhere. And then they tell you, in a month, it'll be fixed. And then they say, well, we said that a month ago. We meant another month. Anybody know when this road's going to be fixed? It's so tore up. We got a nail in the tire the other day, and I'm sure that's where it came from. Actually, it wasn't a nail, it was a screw. So we've been avoiding that. So we come down to Broadway, we turn right, we go up to, what's that Wisconsin burger place called? Culver's, right? Turn left on there, and what is that? Prudence. I'm trying to get you relaxed here for a second in case you didn't notice. We turn on Prudence. We're going to head down, hit Golf Links. No, we're going to hit 22nd. Thank you. So you're familiar with that, yeah. There's a power sports place there, right? And a motorcycle shop there at that corner. So we're going to turn left there. We're coming through the light, and this car pulls in front of the car that's in front of me. And it just barely avoided an accident. And, of course, if they would have had an accident, we would have been involved. So, thankfully, they didn't have an accident. And, thankfully, I was watching, because if they did, I would have had to figure out a way to not be part of that pileup. What are people thinking? What are they doing when they're on the road? I'm sorry. I'll just admit to you the kind of guy I am. When I get on the road, it's the leader that I made, and it's partly the choleric portion that God has given me in my temperament. My family hears me all the time. What was he thinking? What is that person doing? I'm Mr. Law and Order out there. All right, come on. What are you doing? When I get on the road, it's to go from point A to point B. Alive. And for other people, I mean, it wasn't like this 20 years ago where you come to a light and the person in front of you, it's 30 seconds before they decide it's green. Well, they're texting or what are they doing? They're not driving. So I'm thinking, you know, if you're going to get on the road to drive, why don't you do that? And if you want to text, pull over and do that. But don't do both. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. That's why we're going down that path. Somebody's life is going to be saved because you're hearing a voice. Don't get discouraged. God made you the way he made you. Don't allow the devil to cause you to look and say, well, why can't I shout like that person? You mean that person that shouted and that's no longer with us? That went back in the world? You still want what they got? What are we looking for? I'm not trying to discourage you from the supernatural. God is naturally supernatural. But wouldn't you rather have him talk to you? Wouldn't you rather hear him? He's the only comfort there is. He is our comfort. I would rather hear that voice tell me you are healed. Let me put it to you this way. Listen close. I would rather that voice tell me I just healed you than to feel a change in my body that indicates that I just got healed. Because I don't know if I can totally trust a feeling. But I know I can trust his word. I can question experiences, but I never question that voice. Let's stand. The Lord is thy comfort. Thank you for enduring overtime tonight. The Lord is thy comfort. The Lord is thy comfort. The Lord is thy comfort. Friends, don't measure a service by the emotion. Don't measure a service by the volume. Don't even measure the service by the supernatural. Always ask yourself, did he talk to me? Because he promised that he would. And he said, my sheep know my voice. Another they will not follow. He's your guide. He's your comfort. He's your strength. He's your ever-present help in a time of trouble. What would you rather have? A sensation when you need help? Or for him to say, now settle down. I got this under control. Didn't I tell you this or that? Which would you rather have? I'm not even going to answer that. I know what my answer is. What is your answer tonight? I partly say that tonight, just one more time. I partly say that tonight because a lot of times when we come up for prayer, we're looking for a sensation or an emotion. We're looking for some kind of sign. But when the Lord tells you, I've healed you, and when you're told, go rejoice, go thank Him for it, you do that and you'll walk in it. You don't do that and you'll lose what you just had. And then you'll question it. Well, I didn't feel anything, so I'm going to go through another prayer line. Well, I'm going to wait until Brother Screamer comes by. You know, because he's got a reputation. He screams and yells and jumps up and down. Well, they did too. And the fire didn't fall on their sacrifice. Right? Don't go for that. Let the God that is God, let Him answer in that still small voice. Let Him tell you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will provide for you. I will keep you. I will never lose you. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand, Lord, forgive me for going on a little longer here tonight. Lord, I'm just following an unction that You placed on my heart. I know the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. I know that many of us are tired. We've maybe battled to just be here tonight. But Father, I know what You put on my heart, and I pray, Lord, that it would connect tonight. I pray, Lord, that it would reach. We sense, Lord, throughout the service, we sense different ones. We sense the connection being made, but we're not satisfied with just some. It's our desire, Lord, that everyone hears from You. And as a pastor, I don't feel like I'm doing my job. I don't feel like I'm doing my duty if I don't labor for each and every one. And Lord, without You, I don't know what I would do. I'm so thankful, Lord, that You speak to us, that You lead us, that You guide us, that we can know that we know that we know, that we can know that it's You that's leading us and not something else. We can have confidence, Lord, that You could just speak to us and so many different ways, and we won't miss it. The world will miss it because they're listening to all these other voices. But Lord, if we just stop and think about that for just a moment, we know how easy it is to hear from devils. We know how easy it is to hear lying voices, all these different voices. Well, if it's so easy for all these other voices to be heard, then why would it be hard for us to hear Your voice? You're the great Spirit. You're the great I Am. And You want us to hear from You more than we want to hear from You. And it's a painful desire on our part, so we can only imagine how it is for You. So Lord, if we're not hearing from You, I pray that You would speak to us, that You'd reveal to us each and every one if we're not hearing to You. I suspect, Lord, I can speak from experience. I suspect that maybe we're overthinking or overlooking. I suspect that many times You are speaking, but we are listening for louder things or listening to louder things. And if that's where our attention is at, we can't hear the still small voice. We've got to be willing to get still We got to be willing to trust. We got to be willing to get alone with you, to get shut in with you. And then to say, Lord, I'm not moving until you speak to me. I'm not looking for an earthquake. I'm not looking for the pillar of fire to sweep through. If you want to do those things, that's just fine. But I'm not going to move. If you do those things, I'm not going to get up and say I'm satisfied. I appreciate those things. But I want to hear your voice. Lord, we know that there's an entire move. The Pentecostal movement has been one of the greatest, fastest growing, and greatest movements in this entire age. And yet, so many are running off after a sign or running off after a sensation. And they wouldn't stay to hear the word. Father, we want to hear from you. We are your children. We are the sheep of your pasture. You do comfort us, Lord, as no one can. I'm a witness of that tonight, Lord. My wife would do anything for me. She loves me as she loves herself. And she stood in the gap for me so many times. But it's not possible for her to do for me what you do for me. And that likewise, the same token is true. It's not possible for me to do for her what you can do for her and what you do for her. We should do everything that we can. We should love with everything that's in us. We should try. And Lord, you do. Many times you'll work through us. Love our loved ones through us, or different ones through us. But the key there is, it's you. You're the one. Only you can satisfy. May everyone under the sound of our voice, may there not be a single person, either in the building or listening in or will be listening in, may there not be a one of us that goes away thinking, well, I don't really know his voice. I never really heard his voice. And maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's just for certain ones. Father, may that notion be absolutely annihilated here tonight. May it just be crystal clear, Lord. May it be a revelation to each and every one that you want to lead us and guide us as individuals. Comfort us. Give us hope. Be that portion that no one else can fill in our hearts. Only you can satisfy. We were actually made to have you satisfying that portion. And you do satisfy, Lord. So I pray, Lord, if there's anyone under the sound of our voice that's in that condition tonight, Lord, I pray that they would look to you and say, Father, I'm just going to take you at your word. You want to lead me. You want to guide me. You want to be my portion. You want to be my comforter. You want to be my strength. You want to wipe the tears out of my eyes. You want to wrap your loving arms around me. You want to give me hope. You want to give me strength. You want to give me love. I want to take you at your word tonight and believe you and allow you to speak to me personally. Father, if there's anyone in that state tonight, Lord, may they do so. May they just let go and just let you have your way. Father, we're so thankful that we have these opportunities to come together. We don't know how much longer. We don't know what's in our future. We know who holds our future. We're not worried about it. But we have no promise that we can even come together and meet even tomorrow in this building. So we want to take advantage of it while we can. We want to appreciate it while we can. We know that things will not stay the way they are. We want to take full advantage of it every time, every opportunity that we have. I pray that you move upon each and every heart, Lord. And Father, for the majority here tonight, Lord, that know your voice and have heard your voice, may they be encouraged tonight. May they be strengthened. Sometimes the devil will just beat us down and cause us to wonder if
Maybe you've pulled away from us. Lord, you haven't pulled away. We do know that you'll move in certain ways at the beginning of our walk, that maybe there's more emotion at the very beginning. Maybe it won't be so emotional later on. Not that it isn't just as real and that it isn't just as important to us. But it may not be just a gush of emotion, but it is the same comfort and strength. May we recognize that, Lord, as we mature. As a baby, we need those things. As an adult, we certainly need it on occasion, but what we really need is to know that you're speaking to us and to take you at your word, so that we can say, not my word, but thy will be done. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Peace of God, cover me. Yes, cover me. Lord, cover me. Oh, peace of God, cover me. Lord, through the storm, cover me.
Hallelujah.
Only in you. Only in you I am saved. Yes, Lord.
Cover me, Lord, cover me.